What's up? Welcome back to the Freelance Friday podcast. We are going to do a good old-fashioned social media manager Q&A. I used to do these episodes all the time and just kind of fell out of it. So if you ever have questions you want me to answer, feel free to drop them in the comments of my videos. I collect them and do episodes like this. And we're doing this in honor of the fact that the Social Media Management Accelerator is on its way back for the second time this year. This is my signature cohort-based course. We have served over 600 students over a few years, which has been really amazing. It really is my favorite thing to teach. It's live instruction, it's weekly lessons, weekly lives with me, lifetime access to the learning materials. It's just honestly such a good time. So I'm hosting an open house for it next week, which I'll leave the link to down in the show notes if you want to join us for that. Or if you're tuning into this a little bit later, you can't make it, just check out the landing page and let me know if you have any questions. I'm super excited for it to be back and out into the world once again. All right, let's hop into it. So the first question is, what are the steps you'd take to become a social media manager today? I think my video, my last video that I did on the step-by-step process still really stands. I will make sure that I link it to this episode if you want to check it out. But really, I mean, I think the most important thing is getting experience that you're proud of, which maybe is a secondary step, truthfully, because not all experience is the same. And I think you need to figure out like what you really want to specialize in, what you can really write home about and put into a portfolio of, you know, case studies of success that you've had with clients in the past. And then, yeah, you know, I think specialty, figuring out who you want your ideal client to be, or thinking about the working style too. That's something that we cover pretty in depth actually in SMMA, is what is the working style that you're looking for? Because there are actually a lot of possibilities within the social media management field, I guess. You can work as a freelancer, you can work in-house, you can work at an agency. And even within the social media management term, you can be a full service done for you social media manager, or you can be a content creator. And then within that, there are so many different types of industries that you might serve. You might want to work with, you know, B2B companies, you might want to work with cosmetic companies, you might want to work with personal brands. And knowing that messaging, knowing that goal is really going to shape your next steps from there. But really starting with experience, a portfolio, knowing your area of specialty, and then just getting out there and spreading the word, honestly. Like, that's how I got my first jobs, is just by talking to people, just by trying all the things. You know, I was on all the job boards, I was looking at LinkedIn all the time, I was just always like happy to do little random projects. And that's honestly how it starts. Like, I wish there was a more tangible piece of advice I could give, but you honestly just have to be open about what you're doing and people will refer you. People will point you in the right direction. And if your portfolio is strong, you know, you can apply to things on job boards and stuff like that. How do you transition from corporate social media into getting your own clients? This is my story. I worked in corporate for like 5 years or so before I went full-time freelance. And I am so grateful for my corporate experience. Everybody has their own journey for sure. But for me, working in corporate social media taught me so much that I bring into my business now. I know that's not what this person asked, but I just wanted to add that. So what I did is I kind of always took freelance clients pretty much that whole 5 years that I was working in corporate. I worked in two different companies over the span of 5 or 6 years, and I always had like at least one side project. And honestly, that was just fun for me. I knew that I wanted to get as much experience as possible. And you know, the thing about working in corporate is you get limited experience. I feel that the roles are a lot more strictly defined in corporate, which can be nice for work-life balance. But I think for career growth, you know, there were things I just wanted to learn. I wanted to learn how to run ads before I was officially given the keys to do that. I wanted to learn how to like do website updates and analytics and stuff like that. And so working with clients just gave me that experience before my job did, frankly. So yeah, I think keeping like a slow client roster, a small client roster on in the background is going to be really helpful for you, because it's going to give you more experience. It's going to give you work for your portfolio. And it's also going to help you kind of work out the kinks of freelance life before you're fully thrust into it, which is really nice. So day one, when I went full-time freelance, like I had my systems down. I had, you know, basically a wait list, clients in my pipeline. You know, I really felt set up for success. When you are officially like, all right, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to cut the cord, if you will, what I did is I did start ramping up my client load. And it was hard. Like, there was a period of time where I was working a lot, you know, during that like 2 weeks notice. I gave like 5 or 6 weeks notice. So that whole month or two was really busy for me because I was trying to wrap up my day job, but I was also trying to ramp up my client load. So I was prepared for it. I knew that it was temporary, but I did want to leave my day job with a soft space to land. You know, I didn't want to like leave and not have anything going on. But yeah, I mean, that's really, really my advice. And obviously don't burn bridges with your day job. I did try to get them to become a client. They didn't want to, they weren't having it, but I always left that offer on the table. And I have later, you know, in later years, kept up relationships with people from corporate because I wasn't a jerk about it. Yeah, I gave like 5 or 6 weeks notice because I didn't really have anywhere else I needed to be. You know, do whatever you need to do to keep those relationships strong. What process paperwork should be kept for use in portfolios and case studies? So back to the portfolios and the case studies, I think whatever metrics you can grab from your clients' accounts, grab them. You know, anything that tells a story. This is the thing about analytics, is like, it's a storytelling tool. You know, it's meant to help you be able to explain the impact that you had. So if your goal for your client was to help them sell more product, then ideally you can have like a screenshot of their Google Analytics that shows their checkout page and shows where people are coming from. And if it shows social media, if you're a social media manager, well, that looks really good because you can say, hey, we were responsible for this number of revenue or this many website clicks or this many add to carts or whatever. If your goal is awareness, if they're like a brand new business or a nonprofit or something like that, showcase metrics about how you have increased their reach and impressions. So really knowing which metrics to show in your portfolio or case studies, I think are really important because otherwise, this is true even for like client reports. If you just throw the whole report at them, unless they're really data friendly clients or people, it can actually be really overwhelming and not really make a lot of sense. So you really want to curate it and tell a story with your data. What would be your advice for a 19-year-old wanting to start his career in digital consulting? Get experience. At 19, you know, what was I doing at 19? I was working at Victoria's Secret, maybe, or somewhere, a retail store, and going to school as well. And, you know, I think I'm so grateful for all the experiences I've had in my life. I truly do use all of the experiences in my life, in my professional career. So whatever it is that you're doing, like this is actually advice one of my old retail bosses gave me years ago when I was like in high school. She was like a super successful store manager at my store, and she became a district manager. And she said, be the best at whatever role you're currently in. So when she was a cashier, she tried to be the best cashier she ever could. When she was a, you know, assistant manager, try to be the best assistant, store manager, district manager, and so on. And I really kept that one close. And I try to model that because, yeah, at 19, you're only given so many opportunities because you don't have a lot of experience. But if you can, let's say you get a job as a virtual assistant, crush it as a virtual assistant, pay attention to the data, build some good case studies so that next you can pitch for a social media manager job. And then maybe after that, after you do a little bit of that, you can pitch for a consulting job, you know? So I think that's really just my advice, is it's all, when you're that young, it's all about just getting experience, figuring out what you like, figuring out what you don't like, building relationships and experiences, truthfully. Which are the apps that a social media manager must have to use? Most important apps for a social media manager, well, number one is Metricool. Our friends at Metricool are sponsoring today's episode, so I'll leave their link down below. You can get 30 days free on any of their pro plans using my link and the code Latasha. They are a social media scheduling tool, a reporting tool. You can even run ads from their platform. It's so freaking cool. So I would definitely say them, or just, you know, that's my pick, of course, and that's the sponsor of the show. But any social media scheduling tool is essential. Knowing how to use a dashboard like that, a tool like that, is going to help you so much with planning content, getting approval on content, organizing content. You really cannot post natively, you know, from your like Instagram app or whatever as a social media manager. I definitely don't recommend it. And then I think other tools that are really important, Canva or some type of a graphic design tool. If you have a graphic designer on staff, great, ignore my Canva recommendation. But I think most social media managers need to know enough to be dangerous. As I say, like I need to be able to slap together a quick graphic if I need to, or, you know, make a quick, like, you know, post if I need to. I also think it's important that social media managers know how to use, or at least know the basics of, like, reading analytics. Again, Metricool has an in-platform analytics tool, but understanding Google Analytics, which is not technically a part of social media management, but I'm telling you, knowing how to speak to that stuff is going to change the game for you. We talk about that a little bit in SMMA. Oh, HoneyBook. HoneyBook is another big one. I use HoneyBook if you're a freelancer, at least. If you're not a freelancer, you probably don't need HoneyBook, but if you're taking clients on, having a tool that enables you to send contracts, send invoices, set up those systems. So it's just like boom, boom, boom. We have our run of show, if you will, in the client relationship so that they can be really seamlessly onboarded is also very important. I'll leave a discount link for that down below as well. While Metricool, yes, is a sponsor of today's episode, they're also my favorite social media management system. Their free plan allows you to connect one brand across many social networks. You'll get access to in-depth analytics to make more strategic decisions. You can plan and auto-schedule up to 50 pieces of content per month. You can promote your posts in seconds by creating and managing ads directly through the platform. You can view best times to see when your followers are more active and know when to post. Review and reply to all important social media messages with Metricool's inbox feature. And you can analyze up to 5 competitors to spy on the brands that you like. So much more. Those are just some of the amazing features that are on the free plan. And again, if you want to try out any of their pro plans, be sure to use the code Latasha at the link down below. Best conference to attend as a marketing professional. I have not been to all of the marketing conferences, so I really can't give like a 100% solid piece of advice here. But Social Media Marketing World is a good one. I've spoke at that conference twice now. It's in San Diego every year. It is, you know, it's pricey to attend, the ticket prices, but I think it's worth it. There's just such a wide pool of speakers and topics. I'm speaking at CEX in a couple of weeks. That's more creator economy, but I'm really excited for that one. It's going to be in Cleveland. Honestly, though, I recommend starting small. Like, I started just going to local events. When I lived in downtown Detroit, I would go to an event called Creative Mornings all the time. I would like check out any of the co-working spaces. They always have events for their members and often for the public as well. So Google in your area if there's any of that type of stuff. Co-working spaces, Chamber of Commerce often has events, things like that. So I say just start with that. You can actually get a lot of great, you know, networking in. If you like them, if you take value from them, you can kind of look at some of the more national or even global conferences. I'm wanting to level up my photography. Brief breakdown on where to start. Well, honestly, I'm not a photographer, so I don't know if I can answer this question all that well. You know, I think what I'll say is, because I'm not a photographer, I do want to learn. I was thinking about it. I was like, I want to start like a brand photography side hustle. If anyone in Michigan ever wants some like personal brand photos done as a portfolio project, slide in my DMs, because I want to like play around with that. I think it would be fun. And I have a studio that I can shoot in a few times a month. So anyway, side note. So yeah, I'm not a photographer, but I would say learn the basics. You know, the basics don't change. And I know it's like the sexy thing to learn about the latest hack and the latest trend and the latest filter and the latest lens and all that stuff. But like learning like rule of thirds, like basic composition, that is never going to change. So I would say like, yeah, get like an old school photography book or just look up like a photography 101 type of class online or on YouTube or whatever. And that's going to give you the essentials that you need to learn. And then from there, it's just all about developing your own style and maybe like figuring out your specific gear or finding your specific brand that you really like. But I say start with the basics. That's my advice for everything, honestly. And play around. Like I said, I'm like, I think this would be a fun little side hustle. I'm just going to like take photos of people for free and just like see if they like it and see if it's fun. And don't make it this huge pressure thing. Just if you want to become a better photographer, if you want to become a better videographer, if you want to become a better speaker, you just have to do the thing. You just have to get out there and try and make a fool out of yourself a little bit. But that's how you grow. Can you show examples of a cold pitch through DMs? Well, I'm going to be honest, I can't because I don't cold pitch through DMs. I can show you examples of cold pitches through email because, you know, the only time I've ever cold pitched, I've always emailed. I have sort of a hot take about business DMs. And I know it's changing, and maybe I'm sounding like a dinosaur by saying this, but I don't think DMs are a professional form of communication. I'm not saying you can't communicate with business owners on DM. I talk to people on DM, but like if somebody wants to say, hey, Latasha, I want to work for you, I'm ignoring a DM pitch. I am. For me, I just kind of don't think it's like the time and place, you know? But I think for other businesses, either they have a social media manager already who's monitoring their DMs. So why would they like pass along your name as somebody who wants to take their job? Or they're a business owner who's already doing it themselves. Your mileage may vary. And I think it definitely may vary by industry. If you're working with like, let's say coaches or YouTubers or podcasters, like people like me, sure, you might have a better success rate because we are actually the decision makers and we are generally the ones managing our own stuff. But if you're going to pitch like your local library or your local restaurant, I don't think it really tends to yield that successful result. So I would say pitch via email. To do that, you want to just start with a compliment. I get so many cold pitches that are like, your thumbnails are awful. Do you want to hire me to do yours? And I'm like, why would I ever want somebody to work for me who like cuts me down and is so nasty to me? Give me a compliment. Say, hey, I loved your latest video. It was so helpful. And then go in with, you know, I know you mentioned in your last video that you work by yourself. You're doing a great job, but I have a feeling you could pump out even more videos and generate more traffic and more revenue to your business if you had another pair of hands. Here are the services that I offer. I would love to chat with you about this sometime. Here's a link to my calendar if you'd like to book some time or something like that. That's just off the top of my head. In SMMA, you're going to get a bundle with my How to Get Clients Masterclass, which goes over step-by-step my process of finding clients and pitching to them through platforms like LinkedIn, email, things like that. So you could check that out if you want to as well. And similar question, I'm unable to reach my target audience on Instagram, but I'm able to do that for clients. I reach my fellow social media managers instead. Very common. Okay, it depends on who your target audience is. You know, again, if your target audience are people who are very online and very on Instagram, then be on Instagram. For me, that has never really been the case. I have never really, you know, got a lot of like done for you agency clients through Instagram. I don't think I've ever gotten one client through Instagram, if I'm being honest. I get my clients through LinkedIn, through email, through networking events, through word of mouth, through Upwork. Those are like the big places where, again, decision makers, business decision makers are hanging out for the industries that I serve, which typically have been like SaaS, tech, speakers and personal brands, like professional personal brands. That's the majority of my clientele. And that's where I'm finding them. It's not on Instagram. So think about it. I don't know what industry this person is working with or wants to work in, but think about, are they really there? And if they are there and you're still only getting other social media managers, here's the thing. I want social media managers to like ban the hashtag social media manager from their, you know, Instagram vocabulary. If you are in client getting mode, you need to be using hashtags like SaaS startup or startup founder, you know, if that's your target client, for example, or public speaking gigs or something, you know, if you're targeting personal brands, I don't know. I'm just saying it's probably not social media manager is what we should be targeting. And the type of content that we're posting should not be a day in the life of a social media manager. If I'm hiring a social media manager, no offense, but I don't care what their day in the life looks like. I care about the results that they're getting. I care about why they're passionate about my industry. I care about the services that they're offering. I care about, you know, other clients that they've worked with. Imposter syndrome and ways you overcame it when you first started. Imposter syndrome is really annoying. I was just talking to a coaching client about this the other day. And honestly, you know what? Something that helped me recently, this is a story I told her, is I just submitted a speech for CEX, that conference I'm speaking at in a few weeks. And then I had to do some like archival digging. I put some like little kid pics in and just some pics of some projects that I did, you know, over the course of my career and stuff to introduce myself to the audience. And I was like, hold on, I do have a lot of experience. Like sometimes even still, I get in my head, you know, I get in my head and I'm like, who am I to be charging this much or speaking on this stage or teaching these people or making these videos? Who am I to do that? But when you actually list out all the different experiences you've had, all the different clients that you've worked with, all of the different stages you spoke, you know, whatever it is that you do or have done, even if it's just a few, that's more than a lot of people. And that means that you are a lot more equipped to do the job than a lot of people. And yeah, I mean, I think just taking time to reflect and smell the roses, that's like been my phrase of the year, that and have fun, but smell the roses. Like, take a second. If you just submitted a project for like a cool brand, like take a moment to like breathe that in a little bit and celebrate that success and let that marinate a bit, you know? Because I think we just go through life so quickly and we compare ourselves to others and it's like, no, we do really cool things. But also I think like at a certain point, you just have to push through it. I don't feel prepared for half the stuff I do, to be honest. Like, yes, I have a confidence in that. I know, you know, I know deep down I can get results where I can, you know, do my due diligence for a client. Like, I'm not going to pitch for something that I, you know, let me design like a multi-million dollar website for like some huge multinational brand. Like, I'm not going to pitch for a job like that probably, but I'm going to operate in a zone just outside of my comfort level. You know, there are going to be things that I might need to Google, or I might need to leverage my support network, you know, my business freelancing network, that I need to take a day, sleep on it about. And that's okay. Like, you just have to push through and try sometimes and understand that like no one really knows what's going on, to be honest. I don't know how to get over the fear of starting. I guess that one is kind of a different question. Just start. Just start. Try not to make it bigger than it is. I think, you know, I will be honest that when I started like YouTube, for example, I think it was easier, not even in so much in that it was less saturated, but in that nobody knew that you could like make money from this. I certainly didn't. I just wanted to have fun. I wanted to express myself. And I think there is such a pressure nowadays to have this super solid, perfect brand and, you know, be super monetizable and make it work within 6 months, turn a profit. And I just didn't have any of that pressure. I was like just winging it and having fun. And so I say start with something that lights you up. Same thing for my freelance business. You know, like I was just having fun. I was being paid to write articles, blog posts, $20 a blog post, but that was $20 more than I'd ever been paid to write. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. Like, I could officially say I was a freelance writer. And like, I always wanted to be a writer. And that was just the coolest thing ever. And so I loved doing it. And so it wasn't hard to like put myself out there for it and to really go all in on it. And I also didn't second guess myself because I wasn't being paid that much. So same for YouTube. It's like not a lot of people are watching when you first start. So it's kind of low pressure, actually. There's a video I always recommend when I think about starting. It's called The Gap. I'll link it. But it's basically talking about how, you know, if you, let's just say you want to start YouTube, that's the thing you're asking about. You probably watch a lot of YouTube videos and you probably see quality that you're like, oh my gosh, that is so freaking good. I look at it too. I watch the iJustines of the world and I'm like, ugh, you know, goals. But in order to get there, in order to get to that level, you have to just start and you have to honestly make kind of crappy work to begin with. And it can be really challenging because you're always going to be comparing yourself to those people you look up to, but you're never going to get there if you just stay at zero. Like, you've got to incrementally, you know, just do your thing and learn more and just try. Speaking of YouTube, is YouTube even worth it considering how much the platform pushes shorts, which I hate, by the way. I hate them too. Yeah, I think YouTube is definitely still worth it. I think YouTube is by far the highest ROI platform I have invested time, energy, money, effort, sleep lost into. YouTube is not a quick win platform like TikTok can be, like Instagram Reels can be, like Threads. I just had a thread get like 2,000 likes the other day. I'm like, what? And it was just like a complete just throwaway post. That doesn't happen on YouTube as often. You can go viral randomly on YouTube. Some people have built their careers off of that. Most professional YouTubers like myself are not, that's not our story. We're a slow and steady growth. And I actually think it's more valuable. I think it's more scalable, more easily scalable, easier on the nervous system to grow that way. I just find it so incredibly valuable. So if you're going to start YouTube, and especially if you're going to start it for business, just know, you know, don't plan on next year's revenue doubling or tripling from YouTube. If it does, that's a pleasant surprise and good for you. but instead plan on leveraging this content for years to come, creating an evergreen SEO platform for your business that is going to help you slowly but surely over the years. Shorts, I don't even know. I know I should be posting more shorts. That's like one thing that's always on my to-do list. I don't watch them though, so it's like really hard for me to post stuff that I don't love. But I think we got to play the game a little bit. And what I say for that is make your YouTube videos and then do cut downs like I do. And at least I can say I'm doing them. I mean, am I doing them amazingly? No, but at least I have something if like everybody decides to go to shorts all of a sudden, which is not what I'm seeing. There's always going to be long form people. There's a reason movies have been around since the 30s or something. Like people are always going to watch movies. People are always going to watch long form content. I really do believe that. Okay. And then I got a couple of just like random, more personal questions. So I'll go ahead and answer those. If you are done with me and don't care about this, thanks so much for tuning in. Again, I would love to see you at the SMMA open house. If you are somebody who is looking to become a social media manager or grow your social media management business this year, I'll leave the link for that down in the show notes. And first question is, what happened to the How I Got My First Client series from followers as part of the Freelance Friday podcast? I love this question. The question kind of made me sad. So if you only watch the podcast on YouTube, you probably have no idea what this person is talking about. But this year I decided to try to do like a test for a month or two of doing 3 podcast episodes a week instead of just one. And I did do mini episodes for like the Monday, Wednesday episodes. And I did some that were just kind of like me doing like a little diary entry. I did some that were guest focused where they recorded a little story about how they got their first clients. And then I also did some Q&A episodes. I really enjoyed it. I loved it. I love like the mini episode thing when my favorite podcasters do that. So I can just be a part of most every day of yours. But I just felt like the response, like I got like actually zero response. Like I'm going to be honest, nobody except for the people who submitted, which thank you so much to those who did. Outside of that, like I did not get one single piece of feedback saying they liked it or they hated it. And so I just took that as a let's scrap it, you know, and that's okay. I'm not salty about that. I think sometimes that's just what it is, you know, if people aren't giving good responses to something, I'm going to take that as, you know, a signal. And if people did like it and they just were silently listening, I think this is a reminder that like, yeah, the internet is a two-way street. Like, please give feedback within reason. Like, don't be like, this sucks, I hate it, Latasha, you know, and be totally rude, but give constructive feedback, give reassuring feedback if you like something, because otherwise we're just going to take that as you don't like it and we're going to scrap it. So I don't know, maybe I'll try it again sometime. I've also thought about maybe doing a complete separate podcast feed of like, I wanted to do Freelance Daily, but that is taken. So I need to think of a different name for it. But I don't know, I'm really into podcasting. I like doing some audio only episodes. It just feels a little easier and freer. So we might try that again at some point, but for now it was a no. How are you in your new place? Any updates? So I don't know if this person saw my latest vlog, but I didn't get the house that I put an offer in for, which I think was really just a sign. Like I asked, it's so cheesy, but like I asked the universe, you know, show me where I'm meant to be. Show me where I'm meant to be putting my energy right now. And you know, it is what it is, but I did renovate my bathroom, my powder room downstairs. I'm so proud of it. I think it looks really good. I finished a little painting, a little janky painting for in there. I don't know. I'm just trying to make my current space feel a little more like home while also keeping my eyes open to other possibilities. Cause I feel like change is happening. It's going to be happening soon. I just don't know exactly how or when, but I'm just trusting in the process. And then just a couple of location shout outs. When are you coming to Dallas, Fort Worth? And would you do a meet and greet in LA? And yes, I would definitely do a meet and greet in LA. I was just in LA last year and I had such a good time. It was one of my favorite LA trips ever. I was there for work, so it was pretty quick, but I stayed in Westwood. I never stayed in that area before and I really loved it. And I spent a lot of time in Santa Monica because it's kind of close on that side of town and I just really loved it. So hopefully I'll be back maybe later this year or next year, if not. And yeah, I would love to do like a little meetup. Make sure you're on my email list if you're ever interested in that stuff. I try to be kind of, you know, unless it's with a brand or something, I don't like to publicize where I am like in the moment, but I'll usually send out email list updates just because I feel like it's a little bit of a I don't know the word, more intimate group, I suppose, feels a little safer. And Dallas, Fort Worth, I haven't been to Dallas in so long, but maybe soon. This is a childhood high school friend who asked, and I really hope to see you soon. All right. Thank you all so much for tuning in to today's episode. I really hope it was helpful. If you have any other questions you want me to answer in the future, feel free to drop them down in the comments. Be sure to check out Metricool. Their link is below, as well as the link for the Social Media Management Accelerator Open House. I'm so excited to host the next cohort. It'll be starting in May, my birthday month, best month of the year. Just saying, my energy should be pretty good. So yeah, I'd love to see some of you there. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope this was helpful. I already said that. All right. Have a great day. Bye.